Let's start. What I wanted to tell you today is the story of Amsterdam Chazanut of the Ashkenazi. We talked about that in our course, but I want to bring some other materials and some things to think about and what we can do with it and all of us. The Ashkenazi community of Amsterdam from the very start in the 17th century had a very vivid musical activity. They had a wonderful chazanim, and they had people who encouraged chazanut, encouraged congregational singing to an extent. That means you could not allow under these circumstances cantorial music to be sung by the congregation. That was a complete no-no until the 19th century.
In the Ashkenazi synagogue, the congregation was able only to hum a little bit with a chazan, but never to sing. The congregation, of course, could daven. That means, if you in a congregation, if the chazan said, for instance, v'kara zelze ve'amar, or v'kor zelze ve'omar, and so the congregation would say kadosh kadosh, but in mumbling, etc. Everybody in his own place. And as I described it, it was really a big noise that people outside of the congregation could not understand what it was all about. And because of that, the non-Jews spoke about this kind of noise as the Judenschule.
Judenschule.
And the Judenschule was a name for a big disorder. If you want to describe something that is in complete disorder, you say it's like a Judenschule.
In Dutch, we said it's a Jewish church.
Jewish church, yeah. So that was a problem. If we analyze that, we see that it's not. There is a method in the madness, and everybody sings according to some kind of musical principles that people don't know that they are doing that, but they are doing that. And my name for it is a modal cloud. There is a musical cloud which is built out of little particles of music that everybody sings, but that's the only kind of singing that was allowed in Ashkenazi synagogue. In the Sephardi synagogue,
here, still the same. They started a new group called Amos in the Orthodox synagogues, mainly young people, but a lot of people. They get loads of people, and the specific thing they do that attracts people is they sing together.
Mm. Yeah, so here is the chidush. The chidush, Beit HaChidush. The chidush, the new thing is that people sing together. So, the reform movement in the 19th century started this idea that people should sing together, and they copied this idea from the Protestant church. Because in the Protestant church you have chorals, everybody rises up and sings together a chorale, and in order to do it very well, there is an introduction of an organ. The organ was the instrument to make everybody sing regelmäßig. That's how it was called, in a regular fashion. But in the Ashkenazi synagogue, that was not the case, and you could not have a congregational singing, but some answer to the chazan, which was usually only mumbled. So, I want to mention again the story about the chazan in Berlin, Aaron Baer, that in 1794, he wrote a little booklet of many melodies for Lecha Dodi and other music, and a music for other piyutim and so on, many, many melodies, so he would not be able to repeat one melody during the year. So it took a whole cycle of a year in order to get to the same melody, so that the congregation could not learn the melody. And he said in a preface to this little booklet, which is now in Cincinnati in the library, in Cincinnati, it's a wonderful thing. And he says in the preface to this melody, to this booklet, that the reason he did it is because two voices singing together are never good to hear. You cannot hear two voices together. That's, by the way, a halakha. It has to do with halakha. For instance, if you are saying with the chazan the bracha, it's as if you did not hear the chazan. But while you're busy singing, you cannot hear very well. Therefore, this is a principle which is called in Aramaic, Trei Kala La Mishtame. Two voices never can be heard together. There was an acoustical mistake, but that's how our people conceived it. So therefore, he says, I have tried my best to purify the synagogue from this leprosy. He calls it this disease, the leprosy of the synagogue. And because of that, that I was able to do that kind of thing, may God help me, that I see the rebuilding of the temple and the song, the singing of the Levites in the temple again, once more. So that because I did a very important thing and I did not allow the congregation to sing anything. So that is very, very important. And let me tell you that I know that in the Pestalozzi temple, at the Pestalozzi synagogue in Berlin, until about 20 years ago, they were not allowed to sing. If they wanted to sing Matov, say, with the choir, things like that, the Gabaim of the synagogue would come and shut them up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was that. No, till when Chazan Strong on Nechama was there. Yeah, that was the rule. You couldn't sing with a comic. So there was a big thing. And the Chazanim invented more and more and more melodies, but they sang them, the melodies themselves. One of the important Chazanim in Amsterdam, who created lots of melodies and sent them out to his fellow Chazanim, but not to anybody else, was Shalom Friede. Shalom Friede, his full name is Shalom Ben Yehuda Halevi Friede. He was born in 1782 in Amsterdam, and he died in 1854, and from 1809 to his death, he was the Chazan of the Ashkenazi synagogue, which is now the museum, the Chazan of the synagogue. And he was considered one of the most important Chazanim in the Ashkenazi tradition. Now, before him, there were a number of Chazanim. I can read you a whole list of them. But let me just mention one, and that is Michael Ben Natan, who was Chazan from 1700 to 1712. He came from Lublin in Poland and was such a celebrated Chazan that when when he started his office at Chazanut, people carried him on their shoulders from the synagogue to home. And there was a yearly celebration.
He was a small man.
No. So the respect for the Chazanim was tremendous. at that time, until the second half of the 19th century, when that was a little bit on the down. But the Hasanim were very much respected, and they were expected to provide melodies, new melodies each time, for every year a new melody for something, and to sing it in the synagogue and so on. And there was also always a celebration of the new melodies that they created. So Shalom Frieder created many melodies, and we have some manuscripts by him. These manuscripts are partially in the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and partially in Cincinnati at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. And some of the of his music was published by Avraham Tzvi Edelson. This is the copies that you have. Avraham Tzvi Edelson, who assembled lots of these kind of music from manuscripts and published them in his volume 6 of his Thesaurus of Hebrew Oriental Melodies.
Do you have more copies?
Oriental Melodies?
Yes, let me talk about that for a minute. I have here, let me see, we have another copy. Others?
No, I have only this one.
Are you don't have enough copies?
No.
I made 10 copies. Okay, I'm sorry, I should have made more copies. Okay. So, why Oriental Melodies? Avraham Tzvi Edelson. Avraham Tzvi Edelson came to Palestine at that time in 1907. In 1907, he landed in Palestine and started his big research on Jewish music in Jerusalem, where he collected 5 volumes of music from the Oriental Jews, Yemenite, Sephardic, etc., Jews, 5 volumes. And he started what he called the Thesaurus of Hebrew Oriental Melodies. Then he developed the theory that the Ashkenazi melodies are also Oriental by nature, that they were influenced by the fact that the Jews come from the Orient. And therefore he continued the series with the Ashkenazi melodies, and he left the name, Thesaurus of Oriental Melodies. Now, I must say that this was in a way a mistake, because some of the Ashkenazi music is Oriental, like the Chazanut, which you have recitatives, and the old Nusach is influenced by the Orient. But when you come to other melodies, which were created in the 19th century, they are very much influenced by say, German, like the Yale that we sang, Yale, Tachanuneinu Meir, very much influenced by German melodies. And also in the 18th century, there are already influences of European culture. So
I suppose it's a part of the same movement that created the Oriental-looking synagogues in the 19th century. Because they saw the idea was that culturally
we were
Oriental.
Absolutely. We are coming from the Orient, and that's why we have to show it to the entire world.
Right.
We are in the emancipation, and we want to be part of the German society or the French society, things like that.
But
and yet we want to preserve some of our Oriental orientation. Let's put it this way. So that was the idea. But in Edelson, it's more developed because he was he had a Zionist ideology, a very strong Zionist ideology, and he believed that ultimately a new culture, which will be returning to the Orient, will be created in the land of Israel. And
it's in the architecture, you see that it's both an anti-Semitic stereotype and a way that Jews define themselves.
Well, they go together.
No, the idea that Jews are called Oriental by anti-Semites in Germany, because that's that defines them as people without a culture, and Jews define their culture as being, express their culture as being.
Yeah, that's, I don't want to go into all the details, but it's very, very, if you bring it up, it's very, very strange. There is Wagner's infamous article, The Jews in Music, which he wrote, and it's a terribly anti-Semitic article. And yet, you find some of the ideas which he has in a negative, you find it in a positive thing in Herzl's writing. Mm-hmm. That it's
I saw the article that the architect of this building wrote on his architecture here, and in this article you'll find all the negative anti-Semitic stereotypes that are developed in the 19th century about Jewish architecture. It's a very strange article.
Okay, so let's not go into this problem. All right, so that's why he put it in the Oriental Melodies. All right, so now. The melodies of Shalom Frieder are influenced by the new trends of the 18th century that he found in Amsterdam and other places, and by the fact that some of the previous Chazanim who came to Amsterdam were from Eastern Europe. And that is very, very interesting, that unlike, say, Berlin or other places, even France, Paris, and things like that, that everything was based on the old German tradition of the southern Germany, like from Frankfurt south to Bavaria. In Amsterdam, there was this kind of fantastic merger of East and West. And it is something which was really unique to Amsterdam, and I find it very interesting from us, from a research point of view, because in Amsterdam you find prototypes of Hasidic melodies before the Hasidic melodies sang them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the early melodies that you would think now are really Hasidic, you will find in Amsterdam Chazanut. And it's now a little revolution that we have now in research. Scholars are now trying to find out the roots of the Hasidic melodies, of some Hasidic, not everything, no, in this kind of prototype melody, and we'll see that in a minute. All right, let's start with a Shalom Frieder, the first the Kaddish melody. The Kaddish melody is based on Nusach for the in this page is based on Nusach that was done on the eve of the holidays. That means on the eve of Shalosh Regalim. That kind of Kaddish was, in other words, you have motives, but he developed it furthermore. For instance, this motive was the motive for the priestly blessing. Adonai, that the Kohanim, the priest, used to sing on Shalosh Regalim, especially on Pesach. And that was based, and out of that came the Kaddish of the this Kaddish. So let me sing this Kaddish, and I'll sing it a little bit lower than you have it here. Okay. Okay. Yes, God, this Kadash Shemerai Rabo Beolmo Divro Chirusei Veyam Lich Malchusei Mechayechon Ovya to the second ending. O v'chayei dechol beis Yisroel ba'agolo uvizman korim ve'imru omen. Now comes Yesh Merabolo Meroach Leolam Omeyom Bayom. So he doesn't have the Yesh Merabo. And then he goes Leolam Omeyom Bayom. And Chazan continues Yisborach Veishtaba Veishpovar Veishloman and then Vesador, and there is an answer there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Then he goes na 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 leilom min kol bilchoso veshiroso tush bilchoso venechemoso venechemoso ay 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 la 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 ya 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 da mi on be on mo ve maru amen. Okay, so that's the kind of, so you can already detect this kind of old style of singing, what Lewandowski hated very much and tried to change. And we talked about it yesterday. All of these oyoyoys. And that was part of the Chazanut in the 18th century. And many syllables, nonsense syllables, like ay-ay-ay, or boy-boy-boy, or doy-doy-doy, things like that, were sung by the Chazanim. And then later on, they were sung by the Hasidim. Yeah. Okay?
And there's also a piece of coloratura inside.
Yeah.
That's like a coloratura almost.
Yeah, very. And the coloratura, the Chazanim had this kind of ability. They went very, very low. They went very, very high as well. Okay.
But
now,
it looks as if there are different kind of melodies and they have no connection with each other. Mm-hmm. In this country.
It's like a potpourri of melodies.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's.
No, it's not. It's not. The message is not, but it's
organized.
Okay. In a minute, we'll see why it is not organized. Okay, see, it is organized. There is a method in the madness. You should know. And there is method in every madness. What we see on the page here is only part of the music. Because if you look very carefully, you see that after I sing "He's Gadol," there are other notes.
Yeah.
"He's Bom Bom," Shemer, etc. And then you have an indication in the third line, bass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the bass sing da 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 da. Right?
Yeah.
Then you have choir, and then you have bus again in various places. Now, what does that mean? This means the following. In the 17th century, as well as in the 18th century, and in the beginning of the 19th century, the Chazanim sang with an accompaniment of two singers, a bass and zingerl. A bass singer and a zingerl, which was a boy. And the boy sang all sorts of figures in his small voice, a soprano voice usually, and the bass sang parts which belong to the bass. Pom, 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 pom. Things of that nature. And they accompanied the Chazan. They were like a team that worked together and in a very theatrical way. What I mean theatrical way is they did all sorts of movements while they were singing. They would do all sorts of faces, grimaces, okay. And they would, yes, and they would imitate musical instruments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a bassoon or the bass, or a flute, the soprano, and things of that nature. Because of that, they were heavily criticized by the rabbis and also by many of the congregations, said that it's impossible, we should not allow that. But most of the congregations loved it very, very much. And that was...
as always, yes.
That's part of the... it was part of the game. So, I tried to reconstruct this piece. At the time of Frieda, at the beginning of the 19th century, there were already four singers that accompanied the, like almost like a choir of today. And how did they accompany the Chazan? First of all, by singing the bass part and the soprano part and so on, by taking part of the melody, like and by accompanying the Chazan either with chords or with a drone. A drone means that you sing a long note upon which the Chazan improvises. So if we take the Yitbarach, line 3 from the bottom of the first page. If you sing, sing. You see, that's how they accompanied. That was the style. So I tried to reconstruct it, and in a concert in Amsterdam that I did in a small hall concertgebouw that we did on Jewish music. We performed that, and I have a recording of this. So I hope that we can hear. Let's can trust the computers. Yeah. Just 1 minute. I hope you can hear the bass a little bit.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you be
zichzelf een augustin moeten hebben.
Ja.
Ai, ai, ai.
We had this yesterday.
What's that?
We had this yesterday.
Okay. So this style of Chazanut was very much loved but there were other kinds of melodies which were simpler. In other words, this is rather complicated. As you said, it's not the form. If you measure it by classical standards, it's not exactly classical. But that's the kind of music that was very popular.
Where would you put Josimir Rosenblatt's thing that Gilad did yesterday?
Rosenblatt is a continuation of that kind of tradition.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely a continuation of that kind of tradition.
Bravura.
Yeah, with lots of bravura. And but Josimir Rosenblatt took it to the extreme of the extremes. He was able to do all sorts of things that not every Chazan could do. I don't know about Frieda, of course, but I'm sure that not many Chazanim could do that kind of thing. Okay, so in addition to this kind of pieces that you have by Shalom Frieda, there are pieces which are more simple and for us more useful for the synagogue.
At what time of year would you have used this?
Shalosh Regalim. That's for Kaddish for the evening of Shalosh Regalim, before the Amidah.
A simple Kaddish on a Shabbat would be simpler?
I don't know if it would be simpler necessarily. Yes, chances are, because if you repeat every Shabbat the Kaddish, it has to be a bit simpler. Mm. Yeah, I suppose so. But we don't have a Kaddish for Shabbat from him, so we don't know. And but it was a different melody, also in minor. They used to do Shabbat melodies, or the melody that we have today by Lewandowski, is Lewandowski's rearranging in a very very rational way that Lewandowski was an older melody that was the Chazanim used to sing. So you could assume that he Frieda sang a similar melody. Like that one that we sing today in the form. Is an old motive that was probably done by Frieda and many others. But it was really reorganized, reshaped in a beautiful way by Lewandowski. Okay, so now let's go to another melody, and that is Anim Zemirot, the melody that you have after this Kaddish, number 57. Frieda wrote a number of Anim Zmirot melodies, and you can see here in your pages two of them. One is 57 and one is 59, and you can see that they are all in the same manner. They have they are written in the same rhythmical pattern. And it is, in a way, like folk dancing patterns. In these days, much influence was in Chazanut. You could find influence of dances, and especially Baroque kind of dances or early Rococo dances, like the minuet. Chazanim loved to sing minuets, and they composed minuet melodies, and they incorporated them into the tefillah. So this is an Anim Zmirot, and you can see that he did not give any text to it. So let's try to sing first of all the melody by itself. It's a very beautiful melody, not very complicated. And we do it much lower than written. Mm. La 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 and it goes back. Okay. So that's that is the melody for Anim Zmiron. The question is, how was it performed? I unfortunately we cannot hear the arrangement. I gave you my arrangement of Anim Zmiron. First of all, we have on this page the way I think the melody and the words go. We'll do it even lower than I say. Which page did you get?
The
let's use this copy. Yeah. Then I have another. All right. This one. Okay. I arranged it for the choir to sing the way it was sung, I believe, in those days. So the Chazan begins. Anim zemirot veshirim erot ki eilecha nafshi tarod. And then the choir repeats. Anim zemirot veshirim erot ki eilecha nafshi tarod. Then the Chazan sings. Nafshi chamda betzel yadecha ladat kol rasodecha rasoderecha. And the choir continues. Midei dabri bichvodecha bichvodecha. And then in the second line, Omer libi Eldodecha, Eldodecha. And then there is an interruption. And then it returns to the first melody, and the Chazan sings again. Al kein nada haver bechara nichbad shimcha achabed beshir yedidot. Repeat the choir. Al kein nada haver bechara nichbad shimcha achabed beshir yedidot. So the question is, what can we do with such a melody? Can we sing it today in a synagogue? I think yes, we can sing it. It's a very nice, light melody for Anim Zmiron. If you want to get in this kind of mood of Eastern European melody from time to time, I wouldn't do it on any Shabbat. I would skip, though. That I would skip. I don't know if you want to have an extra taste of that and try with ay ay ay, and I don't know what your congregation is going to say about it. That's what I'm waiting for. I don't know, but still I think it's a very usable melody. That's why I bring these melodies for
thinking.
The older members really hate it because they know it reminds them of olden times. The younger members might like it.
No, but your numbers, eh?
That really depends.
Your,
you know, there was a time.
Members
there was a time.
Too young.
I remember.
There was a time in our development that everything that sounds like coming from the Yiddish culture was by itself out.
Taboo.
Yeah, removed. Why? Because that was the galut. That reminds everybody the exile and the tzores and the problems and all this kind of thing. And this of the Jew who is downtrodden not only by others but by himself as well. So the Eastern European was chased out, and especially not only by German Jews, but for instance in Israel. In Israel, the Zionist movement did not like very much, except for Ava Nagila, which was an Eastern European melody. They didn't like very much the kibbutzim. Yes, in the kibbutzim, all the members of the kibbutzim sang Hasidic melodies as part of their entertainment. They were totally atheists and they hated Hasidut, but they sang Hasidic melodies. Many melodies that that comes from that time, from the kibbutzim, are really originally Hasidic. I mentioned that in our course once, that for instance, Shchav Beni Shchav Mimnuchal Nativ Kemara, which is a lullaby of a kibbutz, is a Hasidic melody. Ki hinei kachoy merkeya deyada yoitzer for Yom Kippur. And I also mentioned the story that I heard from a kibbutznik whose father told him that he was a shepherd, and on the 1st of May, the big international day, the highest officials of the kibbutzim movement had a celebration in the kibbutz, and not the regular members of the kibbutz were not allowed to go there. But he was a shepherd, and he went with his sheep, and until he got to that place where the greatest of the kibbutzim movement assembled, and they sang. And what did he hear them sing? Avinu Malkeinu.
All animals are equal.
Yeah.
So
in the kibbutzim they did use the Eastern melodies, but officially in the state of Israel that was completely a no-no. You didn't teach it to the kids and things like that, and because we wanted to have a new Israeli melodies. So the entire idea, everybody shied away from the Eastern European. Now there is a coming back to the Eastern European melodies, and I think we should do that, but with good measure. Not everything which is necessarily Eastern European Hasidic is necessarily good. Mm-hmm. There are very good melodies and there are very trite melodies. So we have to be careful. I think this Anim Zemiro, which smells of Eastern European onion, is very good for our congregations, and it was sung in Amsterdam. So why not sing it again?
Yes.
In Amsterdam. Okay, so let's sing it again. I'll sing the Chazan's part, and you the choral part, but we'll leave out the I at the end. Yeah. Anim zemirot veshirim merog, ki elecha nafshi tarog.
Anim zemirot veshirim merog, ki elecha nafshi tarog.
Nafshi chamda betzeg yadecha ladat, Kora sodecha, soderecha. Now you.
midei dabri bichvodecha, bichvodecha. Omer libi edodecha, edodecha. Az kenada berbecha nichbadot, v'shimcha chavir b'shir yedidot. Az kenada berbecha nichbadot, v'shimcha chavir b'shir yedidot.
Now the question is, what do you do in the next verses? You can do the same thing, the same melody. In the next verses, I wouldn't do the entire Anim Zmirot. I would do the first, say, two verses and the last verse, so that we can that can be sung. Now, what I find so good about this this melody that it is emotionally very expressive and it expresses the emotion of the text. I'm going to sing sweet melodies for you, Anim Zmirot, Naim, sweet, Naim, pleasant, sweet melodies. I will sing to you, Shiri Me'erok, Ki Eilecha Nafshi Ta'or, because my soul longs to you, O God. So that kind of longing, and it says, Midei Dabri Bechvodecha, whenever I talk about your glory, Homer libi el dodecha, my heart is pounding for your love. Dodecha is from Shir HaShirim, your love. Mm-hmm. So it is really a love song to God, and therefore I find this melody very, very appropriate to that kind of sentiment. And I would be very happy if it would be restored. To the singing, maybe not with the ay 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 ay, but
which part did you sing in the second page?
Him taken.
The choir, in the four part choir.
Oh, I did it in the four part choir in such a way that it's divided. I divided the melody between two voices and two voices. But for a congregation, it doesn't matter. You sing the melody, which is in page 2, it's in the soprano, and Ho Melody B, it's in the alto. Ho Melody B, El Dodecha, El Dodecha.
Okay? The Minhag to have it sung by a child, is that a new one?
No, it's a very old Minhag. Uh-huh. It was a very, very old Minhag, and it is mentioned already in the 13th century. Apparently, the text was written about the 13th century, or so 13th, 14th century. We already all have mention it that they want to give it to a boy who never sinned.
Yeah.
Until the age of Bar Mitzvah, you are not supposed to have sinned, right? So the boy who never sinned is the one who is going to represent the congregation before God. So that's an old minhag. Mm.
Here it seems not to be played. This is for a Chazan.
No, this is for the Chazan. This is for the Chazan. And the Chazan in Amsterdam, apparently the Chazan sang the Anim Zmirot and not a boy. But in many congregations in Germany and in Eastern Europe, a boy was would sing it, but in a very simple melody.
Yes.
In a very simple melody.
I know it's done this way. It used to be done this way in the Netherlands. And I've seen it also in The Hague, in the
Yeah, there are two melodies. Yeah. There are two melodies that are sung. Anim Zmirot v'Shirim Me'erok, Ki Eilecha Nafshi Ta'or. This is, by the way, a Sephardic melody, taken from the prayer for Tal, for the dew. Bo leshalom geshem vel. No, bo lech leshalom geshem uvo leshalom Tal. Ma shiva ruach morida Tal. Yeah, this is a Sephardic melody, Sephardic Portuguese melody for the prayer on the first day of Pesach. But the Ashkenazim took it for Anim Zmirot. And then there is another melody, Anim Zmirot Veshiri Merok, Ki Eilecha Nafshi Ta'or. Yeah, this is another melody. This is an old melody which is called Eder Va'od. It was sung once during the entire year on Shacharit of Yom Kippur, and in some congregations also on Shacharit from second day of Rosh Hashanah, Eder Vaodi Tenbetzin. So this melody was also taken out of context. So here is the Anim Zmirot. It's an old tradition that you sing it as a boy, with a boy, but the Chazan could sing it just as well. From my point of view, if you, even if you sin, you can still sing Anim Zmirot. Yeah. I do that. I do that all. I'm greatest sin, a great sinner. So okay. So this is a very nice melody. I want to go to another melody, and you have it here on third page. Yeah, number 61. Or Hadash or Ozer Dalim. All right, now, Or Hadash, we know where the text is from. That is from the Shacharit of every day, that means including Shabbat and holidays, and that is before the Shema, bracha, the first bracha after Baruch Hu, and before the Shema, which is Or Hadash al Tzion Ta'ir, v'nizkech ulanu me'ra le'oro, Baruch ata Adonai, yotzer ha'me'orot. This verse was very important to the Ashkenazim, praying for the new light which comes, which would come to Zion at the end of days. This was not part of the Sephardi prayer books, and it was not part of the Sephardic prayer book. They don't. They found that they, for some reason, it's not there. And in the Reform books, it was taken out from the. From the prayer. I don't remember now in Tov Lehodot, did you restore that?
Or have it? Yes,
you have it. You have it.
Yes.
Okay, so because.
In the old one already.
In
yeah, but this was a Zionist prayer already before the war.
Exactly, so yeah. because the Dutch Jewish community felt Zionist, unlike the German Reform movement, at least in the beginning. Which wanted to detach itself from Zionism. Therefore, this is again Or Hadash here on the.
But you know where it comes from, because it doesn't really belong in the bracha.
No.
It was thematically not.
Again?
Also thematically.
No, it's not.
No, approximately where it comes from?
I don't know. I don't know when it was inserted. I don't know.
Find
it is found in all Ashkenazi prayer books. It is not found in the Sephardi one. The Sephardi one have the before that Vehitkin Meorot Lesameach Olamo Asher Bara Baruch Ata Adonai Yotzer HaMeorot.
If I remember well, what do you have in Israel? Israeli prayer books.
They do Or Hadash.
If I remember well, the Gonim debate on it.
There were debates about what to do about the.
It's also already in the time of the Gonim that.
After the Talmud, post Talmud time, there were debates what to do with this bracha.
Yes. Yeah.
But in any case, in the Sephardic prayer book, it's also a very nice verse, and God created or fixed light. That means the moon and the sun and the moon. Lesameach olamo asher bara, to make the world to make the world which he created rejoice, to make it rejoice. So he made light the sun and the moon to have joy in the world. That's a very nice metaphor too, and I find it very, very lovely. I wish maybe we sometimes will use it, but in any case. Or Hadash al Tzion Ta'ir. Before Or Hadash al Tzion Ta'ir, people used to sing many melodies, and this is one of them by Shalom Frieda. We're going to sing it, and we're going to see that for our congregation it is not useful in this context, because you're not going to sing Or Hadash and then la 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 on the entire melody. So, but it's a very nice melody, and it's used for another text, and we'll see how it works. So first, let me sing it for you. La 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 ta ta la ta 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 ta. Again. And it goes ta la 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 ta la 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 ta la 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 la. And it goes back ta la 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 ta la la ta la 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 ta la 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 ta la 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 ta la 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 la.
Okay.
So, how was it sung? I assume that the Chazan sang Or Chadash Al Sion Tahir Venizkechu Lanu Mera Leoro, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then his meshorim, his singers, would start this until, and they finished the melody, and then after they finished the melody, he sang Baruch Ata Adonai Yotzei Hameorot, and finish off in this way. So that. I don't know if we could do it today in our synagogues. I would not recommend it very much, unless one day you want to be going in a very Hasidic mood. And it's very interesting that this melody has the structure of later Hasidic melodies, and that is very, very interesting to us. Again, as I just said, for the research of Hasidic melody, if you look at the structure of the melody goes A. Pam pa pa pam pa pa pam 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 pam, and then B ta ra ra la ta ta ra ta ta ra ra ri ra ra pam, and then C ta ra ta 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 ra la 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 la, and then when it goes back, it doesn't go back to A, but it goes back to B. It goes back to A. So the structure is A B C B. This is the structure that the Hasidim adopted very zealously from an ideological point of view. As I mentioned in our course, for the Hasidim, it was very important that you start low and you go up and up, and but you cannot remain in ecstasy up. You have to go back, but you cannot go back to A. You always go back to B, because you were transformed by the melody. Therefore, you must go A, B, C, B, and not B, A, B, C, A. A, B, C, B. Because the melody brings you to a higher degree. So you're not yourself again, but still you're not in ecstasy, because if you remain in ecstasy, you would go crazy. And God wants you to lead a normal life, although the normal life should be dedicated to God. And the way you dedicate to God, you go to the B level. So if you are a tailor or a shoemaker, you work making shoes or making clothes with a dedication to God. Even those clothes that you make and the shoes that you make are dedicated to God. And that's a very important principle in Hasidic life. And the melodies represent that. But the melodies came before the ideology, and that's one proof that you have for this kind of a melody. So when I believe it was used more on another occasion. You see here that he writes Ozer Dalim. Now, where do we have in our text Ozer Dalim? let me complete the text. Ozer Dalim Hoshiana. פודה ומציל הצליחה נא. שמחת תורה. On שמחת תורה in the הקפות. עוזר דלים, הושיע נא. That is the sixth הקפה. שמחת תורה. Okay, on שמחת תורה, when you take out all the Sifrei Torah and you do the Hakafot for Simchat Torah, then when you come to Ana Adonai Yoshiana, each Hakafa is accompanied by Ana Adonai Yoshiana, Ana Adonai Atzlichana, Ana Adonai Anenu Viyom Koreinu, and then it starts in alphabetical order. Elohei Aruchot Oshiana, Elohei Aruchot Oshiana, right, yeah. Okay, so that's the...
No.
Or Elohei Aruchot Bochen Levavot Gole Amukot in alphabetical order. And when you come to the sixth Hakafa, out of the seven, you come to the letter Ayin. Ozer Dalim Oshiana Pei Podeu Matzil Atzlichana. Kuf Kadosh Venora Aneinu Viyom Koren. So you have this kind of structure, alphabetical structure, and you go with the Akafa. And when you go with Akafa, you're supposed to sing a nice melody to even dance with it to Torah scroll. I don't know how much they danced in Amsterdam with the Torah scrolls in the 19th century. I know that in the 17th and 18th century. In the 19th century, that was forbidden. That means you were not allowed to dance with the Torahs. You were allowed only to go in a procession, and in some synagogue, only take one Torah out and go in a procession on it, and that was it. And that was also in Germany. That was the minhag. But I assume that before that, people felt much freer about decorum, and it was not considered very good decorum in the 19th century to dance. So, therefore, I think that this melody was used much more for Simchat Torah and for the Akafa or Zer Dalim. Why Akafa or Zer Dalim? This was considered the most important Hakafa, and people were very excited about it because of the words Ozer Dalim, O God who helps the poor, save us or help us. And that was the prayer of the poor. Usually for that Akafa, poor people were given the honor to carry the Torah scrolls. But the celebration was very, very big. And therefore, this is until now a very important Hakafa in various circles, especially in Hasidic circles, but not only in Hasidic circles. And where they sell the honor of carrying the Torah for the Hakafot, this is sold for a very high price, so Ozer Dalim Hoshiana.
To help the poor, yes. To help the poor to attend to it, yes.
Yeah, a good source of income for the synagogue. Yeah. All right? Now, how was it done? The Chazan would sing in a regular melody, Ozer Dalim Hoshiana, Podeu Matzil Atzlichana, and then it's Karov Lekorav, I'm sorry, Karov Lekorav, Aneinu Biyom Koreinu. And then the choir would start with a melody, Ram, pa pa pam, pa pa pam, pa pa ra ra ta 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 ta. Okay?
No words.
No words. And we can sing it on la 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 if you want, or any kind of syllable that you prefer to, ah ah ah, or la 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 la. Alright? Now let's see how it works out. Do you remember your melody for the Hakafot?
Yeah.
Okay? So, well, how's the melody for Hakafot?
La 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 la
Yeah. Now that is from the 19th century. That's a melody that was used in some congregation earlier, but was sanctified, so to speak, by Lewandowski. This is in Lewandowski's book.
Should have known it.
In earlier times, the melody would go down to minor at the end. Let's sing it again. It was a tradition like that. I don't know if there is many. Look, if you go to Torah reading, how do you your Torah reading is a major. If we take a verse, for instance, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. How would you sing Mercha Tipcha Monachet Nachta Mercha Tipcha Mercha Sof Pasuk in your Shof?
Mercha Tipcha Mercha
Sof Pasuk.
No. Mercha Tipcha Mercha Sof Pasuk. Da-ra-ra-ram. That's the major mode.
Yeah.
How do you end an aliyah? You went down. And that's in minor. You went into minor mode. And that happens in various pieces of liturgy. In various communities, by the way, not in the Ashkenazi community. So when you have sometimes when you have a tonic which is in major, when you have an end of the entire thing, it goes down to minor. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's kind of part of the Jewish nature. I have no idea. but it happens in many cases.
But it gives you a natural feeling of an end.
We are sorry it ends.
Yeah, it gives you a feeling that something's
happening. Yeah, perhaps. I really don't know.
Maybe, but...
I don't have a good reason for it, but it happens in many communities that you always go down for the last section of an aliyah or last section of anything else. It's also in the Sephardic Torah reading, and in the Eastern Sephardic, you go just one half tone. For instance, if you do Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, and you end a portion with that, supposedly, you go tam, you go et haaretz, half a note. Right, when you exactly, when you say Baruch et Adonai ha-mevorach, Baruch Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Rebach Adonai mekayem v'natan Torato, Baruch Ata Adonai. How do you end it?
Okay? But
doesn't that image say natural speech in a sense? It denotes the end of a line. So in natural speech you denote the end of a sentence by going down.
Okay. Which is a good explanation as any.
Everybody
but,
in my...
Yeah, but why does it go to the minor? It could go down.
Well, to make...
I think in Eastern Ashkenazi trope it goes up.
What's that?
In Eastern Ashkenazi trope, what they use in America and Israel, it goes up at the end of the aliyah, I think.
No.
Or at the Sof Pasuk.
Bereshit bara בשיז ברוי אלוהים אס השומיים ואסור לציור לצוי סוסויו ובויו וכוי שתך פני ישראל ורוח אלוהים מרח אפס הפני המועים ויאמר אלוהים יאיור ויאיור ויאר אלוהים סויר כיתוי ויבדל אלוהים מנוער ונחושר ויקרו אלוהים לא יאיור ולא חושך קור ויאיור ויקר יאיור מחוד. For this purpose, I'm Litvan. So you understand? So there is always an end. The end goes down. The end goes down, and typically it goes down to minor. Especially in the Western European tradition, goes to minor. So this is why he has this melody in minor. When you go, if you want to sing this melody, you have to finish. Ta ra ta ra 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 ya pa 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 ra ya ta 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 ta. So let's do it a little bit higher. Ana Adonai Oshiana, Ana Adonai Atzlichana, Ana Adonai Aneinu V'Yom Koreinu. Okay?
Ana Adonai Oshiana.
Let's do it a little bit higher.
Ana Adonai Oshiana, Ana Adonai Atzlichana.
En dan een dansje in ze duren wel.
Ik weet zeker in dit geval dat de gaat dan Torah dit zeer op prijs.
Als
ik
het mee zing.
Ja, hij was er tot berekening ook bij.
Albert, nee, ik doe de gazantstuk en jij doet die dan.
If he does this in Rotterdam, the Gatan Torah will really love it. I'm sure.
The Gatan Torah?
Yeah, because
he is.
Just teach the congregation to sing this, and I'll do it. No problem.
It could be done.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this is a few melodies that we have from Frieden. Now, let's go to another melody, which is number 62, immediately after that. Ve'ishlach brocho. Ve'ishlach bracha. Now, where do we have the words ve'ishlach bracha?
Ve'ishlach bracha. Birkat Amazon?
No, no, no.
No?
No. Ha'ishlach bracha, no, hu ishlach, no, ha'chaman hu ishlach bracha braud. וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם עם כל ישראל לכם ונאמר אמן.
מישברך.
We have it in a מישברך. That is especially the מישברך for the קהל, for the that you say after the Torah reading, you say מישברך for in the Dutch Reformed congregations, liberal congregation. What we do is we have a one collective מישברך at the end of the Aliyot, saying the prayer on behalf of all the people who came up to the Torah, for all the people who oskim betzorchei tzibur be'emunah,
the
people who
wine and the oil.
Again,
the wine and the oil. The
yeah, they give the wine and yain, yain lekiddush leavdala, ner lamaor, v'yain lekiddush leavdala, and in the Zionist oriented synagogues, all those who who helped the building of Eretz Israel,
yeah.
Be'emunah, all of these are blessed after the Torah reading, and this was a very old minhag from the time of the Geonim. That's okay. From the time of the Geonim, the Chazan or the Rav of the synagogue who used to deliver a Mishaberach on behalf of the entire synagogue, the people in the entire synagogue. And there was also a minhag, and I mentioned it in our class of Matnat Yad. Matnat Yad was a custom in the German synagogue, especially the southern German synagogue, on Shmini Atzeret, and on the last day of Pesach. And on the second day of Shavuot, the rabbi would go after the Torah reading with a Sefer Torah in his hand, go down from the Bima and bless the heads of the families. Each one would get a blessing, on condition, of course, that he would contribute to tzedakah, to the synagogue, and to gemilut chasadim, and to the sick house, the hospital of the community, and every Talmud Torah and every other institution. And so they would pledge a contribution, and he would give them a bracha, and that also ends vishlar bracha v'atzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadein. Then the rabbi would go up with the Sefer Torah to the Bima, the Chazan would bless the rabbi in the same manner, and the rabbi would bless the Chazan in the same manner, and after that the Chazan would pronounce a Mishaberach for all the Kaddah. That was a long ceremony that used to be. It's no longer what?
No.
Shmini Atzeret. On Shmini Atzeret. On last day of Pesach,
okay.
And last day of Shavuot, I mean second day of Shavuot, that was done, and it was called Matnat Yad. Matnat Yad means a contribution, the giving of the hand that gives a contribution. There was so Vishlach Bracha was also part of that kind of a sermon. Now my feeling is that this kind of melody was used for Vishlach Bracha on special occasions. On special occasions, maybe on Matnat Yad, maybe on from time to time when there was a celebration in the community. I'm not sure that every Shabbat it could be used. So let's try to sing it. La 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 And then it goes back from the beginning to where it says fine. Okay, now this is a little bit complicated, much more complicated than the Ozer Dalim melody. But still, it is useful if you make a few little changes in the melody. We can use the first part as is. And then the second part, you can avoid the first ending, or you can do and then it goes to minor. And I would avoid using all the rest of the melody, for it would be much simpler to go back to the That's a very simple melody. And again, the avoid the first ending. Instead of that, sing instead of ta ra ra ta ra ra ta ra ra and then ta ra ra. Very simple.
And when would
that's a good question.
The speech Berach is given by the rabbi in our communities, and I think my community would wonder if I would start doing this.
No, they will be quite sure. Finally confirmed.
They're going to look for another one.
You'll have to. Okay. Here's my solution. For the words you have Vishlach Bracha, and the text is Vishlach Bracha Vatzlacha Bechol Maase Yedehem Im Kol Israel Achayem Velomar Amen. Yes, you can use it with words. Vishlach Bracha Vatzlacha Bechol. וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. Im kol Yisrael acher nomar amen. Im kol Yisrael acher nomar amen. And then the minor melody. You can do Vishlach Bracha again. Vishlach Bracha Ve'atzlacha Ve'chol Maaseh Yedeyem. 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 Im kol Yisrael acheyem v'nomar amen. Im kol Yisrael acheyem v'nomar amen.
You can write it down.
I will do that. I will send you. And I will send Bram an email so you can. I'm sorry. I will send a recording, and I will send an email with a melody, and that can be done after the Misha Beirach for the congregation,
or at Simchat Torah after to embellish say the Misha Beirach for the Chatanim.
Bevakasha, yeah.
That
would be extremely nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on special occasions.
I say this in general. I would like it, but in
if
general,
you have a service, how do you end your Misha Beirach for the Kahal? How does Misha Beirach for the Kahal end?
Just stand in front of Aaron and you read it.
And Suri Yisrael afterwards, so it doesn't come.
But then you start open Suri Yisrael with singing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can just as well finish with the Yishlach Baracha singing something.
Could do it. I think. Our tradition is that the rabbi does it, and it's kind of meditative. It's a meditative kind of thing, so it's not communal sing. Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I don't see it working.
If you tell them beforehand,
yeah.
We'll try something which goes back to this old chazan and the thing before you open that one.
Yeah,
which goes back to the old Dutch tradition. And rather than don't tell them something. It's no good. In Amsterdam, don't tell them it's American, because there's no.
That's even worse.
Yeah. I'm not so sure. It's
we always sing on Yom Kippur the Rotterdam Kusha.
In any case, I will. I will make a recording of it, and I'll send you a copy of the edited melody. I'm sorry. And let's try it. I think it's I believe that one should try things like that for tourism. Number one, that it could be a very nice thing, not on every Shabbat, but in a very special Shabbatot. Or in a very special occasion, like the Simchat Torah, things like that, to do things like that, and it can catch on. I'm sure that it catches on. Number two, well, maybe for a historical reason, we're kind of renewing an old tradition, an old kind of melody that was used in the Ashkenazi synagogues in Amsterdam. So I will. I will do it. I hope immediately. And I said by this weekend you will get the. You will have to remind me of that.
You have to be due in the plane tomorrow.
Yes, I'll send you the by email. So I think these melodies can be used. The Kaddish, I'm not sure that is useful right now. I brought it because to show you how these things were done. But certainly, the Anim Zemirot, Anim Zemirot is a very beautiful melody, and the Or Chadash, or actually the Ozer Dalim for the for Simchat Torah, can be very, very nice. It'll be very joyful, create a joyful atmosphere. And Vishlach Bracha as an experiment. We'll see how this can be done. We'll see if it catches on. If not, malasot.
Put it in your next book.
Huh?
Put it in your next book.
Yeah. Okay, so with us, I think we complete our
time.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.